God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and the dreams of our lives. May we also be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have for us. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called each of us. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, those who are in pain, those who are ill, those who grieve. And may we touch their lives not only through our prayers, but through our lives and actions as well. Lord, guide us and bless us, uplift us and hold us. For we are your children, called to our purpose here in this world, called to your purpose in this world. Hear our prayers, Lord, those spoken, those hidden in our hearts, when we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. We ask that you hear us now, Lord, as together we pray the prayer that you taught us, which is printed in the bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And ask Babe to come forward and read our scripture for us this morning. Please follow along in your Bible or in your bulletin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I find my spot here. The Old Testament reading for this morning is from the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The reading for the New Testament is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, "This is a covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more, and where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Years after the Lord's prediction. see that there's some big stones there. You know, over the years, I have been asked, and I'm sure that most of you have been asked, about the end times. Are we in the last days? Is Jesus coming soon? Are the signs of global pandemics and earthquakes and wildfires and volcanoes and drought and famine and war and monster storms and floods, are they signs of the earth or the end times? When they ask me this question, I usually give them a very definite answer. Yes and no. No, because even though there are terrible tragedies going on all around the world, diseases that are striking many, many people, these are the birth pains, and I personally don't think that we've seen the worst of it yet. It'll be terrible, but for the saved, it's the worst that's going to happen. You die and go to heaven. And yes, because, let's face it, we're closer to the end than any other time in history, both as a race of human beings and for each of us individually. Now, we sometimes think that for us, you know, death will happen sometime down the line, you know, someday. Not knowing that maybe you're sitting here right now with a life-threatening disease, or maybe you'll be killed in a car wreck on the way home from church. You know, back on October 3rd, a woman in Golden, British Columbia, Canada, was sleeping in her bed when she was awoken with a loud crash. This is a picture. She felt debris on her face, and when she opened her eyes, there was this meteorite about the size of a cantaloupe, about 2 inches from the face of her face on the pillow, right next to her head. It had crashed through her throat. You can see the hole there through the sheetrock in the ceiling. And you can probably see the dark spot where it landed on the pillow. Well, first of all, what are the odds of something like that happening? Pretty small. But truth be told, she was just inches away from death. And it can happen that fast. This goes to show that the Lord's return can come out of nowhere. And it can happen that quickly. The Lord tells us that he will come in the twinkling of an eye. Well, how fast is that? Now, light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So for light to enter the eye, reach the back, and be reflected out, a twinkle takes about a nanosecond. 1/1,000,000th of a second. Friends, that's not much time to get your home in order, is it? Think about that. So here's a proposition, something to think about. While we wait for Jesus' return, we're challenged to, first, live our best day every day. That's hard, I know. But it's an attitude that we have to look forward to when we get out of bed in the morning. Second, treat others as if this is our last day. Third, handle our possessions as if this was our last day. And fourth, work for the kingdom of heaven as if this was our last day. Now, we just read in Mark 13:3 that four of Jesus' disciples asked him privately about the last days, when it would come on earth and on mankind. You know, they just heard Jesus prophesy about the coming destruction of Herod's temple. Well, they wanted to know, when would Jesus bring his kingdom to earth? I think some were still looking for a military or a governmental kingdom and really didn't understand about his heavenly kingdom. You know, would it happen in their lifetime? Would it happen in the next 50 years. What exactly would happen? What will it take place? How will it all happen? What would be the signs that could be seen that would give mankind a warning? Well, they simply wanted to be ready. And this morning, who among us does not want to be found ready for the second coming of Christ? You know, all over TV and the internet and even in a lot of sermons that we hear, they talk about the second coming and Armageddon and the Antichrist and the rapture and the New Jerusalem. It seems like some churches and ministers only focus on that subject. And now while they may talk about salvation and spiritual transformation and growth, their tried and true message always seems to center around the end times. And that's okay to a point. After all, Jesus takes time to share some things about the second coming. He reveals to us, for example, that history is linear. It both has a starting point in creation and an ending point, God's full salvation. And Jesus tells us that there are some things that we can see that will tell us when some of these things are about to take place. We know that there will be a time of great upheaval and chaos. Have we seen any of that in the past 5 years? 10 years. Second, there will be a time of great deception. Have you seen any of that on television or politicians or on the internet or Facebook? Third, there will be a time of great war and destruction. I remember telling you one time not too long ago that on average there are 40 skirmishes or wars happening on the earth at any one time. That's a lot. And fourth, there will be a time of great global destruction. And we're seeing some signs of that already as well. But what Jesus did not say, however, was the exact day and year. And that is what Peter and James and John and Andrew wanted to hear. And that's what we want so desperately to hear today. Exactly when will Jesus come again? Are the earthquakes and volcanoes and so much more that we see today, are they a sign? Is ISIS and its global mission to destroy Christians a sign? You know, if we're not careful, we get caught up in all of the sign-looking to the point that we forget the true message of Jesus Christ. And that message is proclaiming the good news. That message is healing the sick and casting out demons and helping mankind to be redeemed and renewed and restored. That message through Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit is so that we can be saved this morning and not have to worry about it. Again, what's the worst that can happen? We're all going to die. And wouldn't you like to be assured of eternal life and glory? Friends, death is not a tragedy. Death is our passport to glory. And death without Christ, though, on the other hand, that is the tragedy. You know, perhaps as we look at this passage as a whole, it would be better for us to ask ourselves maybe a couple of questions. Are we personally ready for Jesus' second coming? Would it upset your plans if Jesus came back today? Well, I wanted to gather with the family. Well, I wanted to go shopping and the Vikings are on at 3. Would we want Him to wait a little longer? Lord, how about 60 years from now? Could we do that? You know, even if we did know the day and the hour, would knowing that change that we are, would knowing that change the way that we're living today? Say, for example, that we somehow found out that Jesus' return was scheduled for November 14th, 2050. Would it cause us to live differently? What about November 14th, 2040? 2030? 2021? Would we do anything differently? Would we begin to suddenly live differently? Would we treat God any differently? Would we treat one another differently? The truth is really this simple. Jesus tells us here in Mark 13 that we are simply to be ready for it at all times. We are to live each day, not to live in fear, but as end times people, with anticipation. God, you see, knows us too well. For example, he knows that we like to be clock watchers. He knows that we love to procrastinate. I often say that I would be a good procrastinator, except I keep putting it off. He knows that we will decide to only change at the very last moment. Well, friends, God has not called us to be clock watchers or sign watchers. God is not going to give us a two-minute warning like he does in pro football. God called us to be kingdom builders. He wants us to be people who will live out each day the message of love, the message of grace, the message of forgiveness, the message of redemption, and the message of mercy. So, what should we do this morning as we wait for the second coming? Well, first of all, we should live each day as our best day, as if it could be our last day, our very last day here on this planet Earth. And I got to tell you, for some people, it will be. We should challenge ourselves each morning when we get out of bed with this thought. If today was the last day in this mortal body, how shall I live it to its fullest? How shall we live today as the best possible vessel of our spirit and that of the Holy Spirit? You know, for the second coming is not a day of dread, but it's, according to God's word, our wedding day. God's weddings are special. They're fun. It's a day in which Jesus will be reunited with us, his bride, the worldwide church. Have you ever had the opportunity, I'm sure that you have, to watch a bride on the day of her wedding? Linda and I did with our oldest granddaughter just a week ago yesterday. Of course, you know, a bride wants to look her best. She's nervous. She's looking forward to beginning a new life with her everlasting love. She's looking forward to starting a whole new life together with the man that she loves more than any other man. That should be our everyday approach to our lives here on this earth. We should know that we are loved, and you are loved. That we are accepted, and you are accepted. And that we are everlastingly wanted. Jesus came and died for you. He wants you that much. We should know that this may be the very last day we will be joined forever with our Lord Jesus. And secondly, we should treat others as if today the Lord was coming again. We should allow our love, our joy, our forgiveness, our mercy rule the day. We should make sure that any minor disagreements, and we have them from time to time, minor make sure that they're taken care of in the name of Jesus. And do this among friends, do it among acquaintances, and yes, even family members. We should do all we can to be at peace with everyone. We should bury any hatchet, any grudge, anything that looks like unforgiveness. I mean, who wants to be angry at the end of their life? Who wants to pile up a bunch of grievances? Does that make you the winner? I don't think so. Have you ever come home and were overwhelmed with the smell of a rotten potato in your house? Have you? And you have to kind of get down to the potato bin and dig around and find that rotten one. And get it out of there before the rest spoil. Well, we don't want to be a rotten potato on the day that Jesus comes back. Each night, each morning, each midday, take things to the cross of Jesus. Pray the Lord's Prayer and mean it. Don't just recite it. Father, forgive us our trespasses, our sins, our iniquities, our shortcomings, our failures, as we forgive those who sin against us. See, friends, if you want to be forgiven, you must first forgive. Thirdly, treat all possessions as if they would become rubble and garbage tomorrow. They probably will be. Treat everything as it is. It's moth food. It's worm food. It's pre-rust material. Who wants to put their stock into things that will not be here 100, 200 years from now? Why do we waste so much time building up things here on this earth when we know that we can't take them with us into heaven? Why do we do this? For posterity? Other than in a history book, who's going to remember you 100, 200 years from now? Just remember the parable of the rich man who, after building barns, had to face his Lord empty of heart and soul. Rather, let us build up one another. That's what we're here for. Let us build up relationships that the Bible tells us can be everlasting. And finally, let us work with the talents and the resources and time that we've already been given. That's what Mark 13 is all about. While we wait for the kingdom, let's do what we can to be kingdom builders. And that means reaching out to people. That means sharing the good news. That means focusing on Jesus rather than on ourselves and our own little kingdoms. A few weeks ago, we had the Benson family here. I hope that you enjoyed them. I certainly did. Maybe we can have them again here in the future. But many of you reached out to others and brought a friend. It was wonderful. And we need to keep doing that. We need to keep inviting people. If you're happy with your church, let people know about it. We want people to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So invite people, bring people. You know, when Jesus comes again, he's going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the righteous judge. He will judge us on how well we have done living out his life on his earth. How well have we been cultivating and working on our own personal relationship with him? How well have we been working on our interpersonal relationships with one another? How well have we been living out a Christian lifestyle that looks a lot like what it says in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 15? And as we close this morning, I want you to read along with me the words that are found in that bit of scripture. And I actually put a note in your bulletin that I must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it is since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed. It was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters, also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its recovering, its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But keep in mind, with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. My friends, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you can't wait till later in the day, or wait for tomorrow, or next week, or next year, in order to make a decision. You can't sit on the fence with this one. You know, less than 1/1,000,000,000th of a second doesn't give you much time to prepare. So I invite you to make that decision now and be ready for the Lord's return. Amen. At this time, friends, as you know that we've done this in the past, I've asked different missions that we help support through our benevolence funds to come and speak to us for a few moments just to let us know where your money and efforts are going to. We have a number of wonderful Christian organizations in this area that are serving the people, our brothers and sisters who live right around us. And today we have Mr. Tom Merrill.